We started our new series, and it's called The Power of a Door. And I'm super excited about this. You ever start seeing something in the Bible, and then it's just everywhere? Everywhere you look, there's another example of something the Lord's shown you. It's just been amazing since the Lord's began this with me. And as I shared last week, when most time when people think of a door, they think of it as being a negative thing, right? There's a closed door. You have a closed heart to the Lord. But the Lord said, I want to show you something different. I want to show you the power of a door. And last week we were reading the story of the prophet's wife who had been in debt. And Elijah told her to go inside her house and what? Shut the door behind her, right? Why was he shutting the door behind her? Because he was protecting her faith, right? And we saw that when she went inside, and again, we read these stories and we just buzz through them because we know the beginning to the end. But we were talking about last week, how crazy would it be if I told you to go into your house and with your little jar of oil, collect all the jars you can and just start pouring, it's going to keep going. We talked about there would be a little bit, at least a little bit of what? Really? Are you sure? I imagine when I was thinking about this week, it's probably the same look that people get when you talk to them about tithing. What? You want me to give 10% of everything I earn? What? That doesn't make any sense. I need all of it, right? Because in the natural, that's what it looks like. And so the Lord needed to have her shut the door so he could protect her faith. Because we know how cities work, especially in that area. They were very densely populated, so they would walk around, and you probably could see in your door, and somebody walking by, a good-meaning neighbor, what in the world are you doing in here, right? So the power of a shut door, we learned last week, the power of a door was to shut yourself in and keep your faith protected. And this week, we're going to look at a man called Noah. Anybody ever heard of Noah? Thank you, honey. And his story actually starts in chapter 6, but we're not going to read the whole thing because that'd be three chapters, so I won't do that to you this morning. But we know with the story of Moses, the Lord comes to Moses. The story of Noah, I think actually it was Luke, first grade. And his teacher said, you remember Moses and the ark, right? Everybody knows that story. He lifted his hand and he said, no, I don't know that one, but I know the one about Noah and the ark. Gotta love it, right? So Noah, his story is that there was just evil throughout the land, and it was everywhere. And the Lord had decided that he was going to send a flood to cleanse everything. And so he told Noah to what? To build an ark. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, at this point, there had been no rain. Rain did not exist up to this point. The earth itself was created in such a way that there was like an atmospheric zone that we don't have anymore that kept moisture in so things would grow, so things would flourish. So first of all, he asked him to build an ark because he said there's floods coming. He's probably thinking, what is he talking about? Floods? I don't even know what that is up to this point, right? So he starts building this huge boat in the middle of nowhere, right? And he's got all the naysayers. What are you, that crazy old Noah, look at what he's doing. Oh my word, can you believe this? He's building a boat, and it's not just a small boat for like a lake or river, it is a massive boat. What is he thinking, right? And he's going about, and he still keeps doing it every day. He keeps doing what God has asked him to do, amen? And then we see the boat is finished. And you know that Noah had to have told everybody in his life, listen, God sent me a warning. Come on, get on board with me. You don't want to miss this boat. Get on board with me, right? And we see that everybody responded, right? No. They didn't respond. They didn't get on the boat. The only people that got on the boat with him were the ones that God sent. And who was that? The animals. So they get in this ark, and it has this huge, massive door. And I'm sure at some point Noah was thinking, how are we going to shut this thing? I guess you got animals that might be big enough, but I don't know if they were tame enough to do that, right? And so we see at one point the Lord says, okay, get everybody on board. It's coming. And it says the Lord himself shut the door. He shut the door. Another shut door. How many people have ever had times in their lives where God shut a door? And you thought, man, no, that was like, that was the perfect opportunity. That was the person. I was sharing with the kids, I think one of my girls this week, I said, there was a young man before Steve that I thought for sure was the one that the Lord had for me. You know, there were a couple, but you know, when you don't get married until you're 27, 28, there are a few along the way that you think you've heard the Lord from. And I remember being so devastated when the Lord shut the door in that area of my life. Now, it's kind of like reading the Bible. I can see the beginning from the end, and I can look back and go, oh my word, thank you, Lord, for shutting the door. That person was not a bad person, but there are so many things in my life that literally when I met Pastor Steve, my brother said, if you were in a guy's form, it'd be Steve. He believes just like you. It's crazy how much you guys are the same. Little things. You know, the way that you pray about your finances. He believed that way, that we could pray and come to an agreement. Little things like what you watch on television. I don't like rated R movies. I don't like hearing the words. It bothers me. I don't like scary stuff. It bothers me. He honors that. The little things that would have eventually become big things, right? So the Lord sometimes shuts the door to protect your future. And that's what we see here in Genesis. And the verse is 7:16. I loved it, honey, because it's your birthday. So those that entered, male and female, all the flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut them in. The Lord closed the door. Sometimes in our finances, when we look at things, we think, Lord, this would be the best job for me. I remember several years ago, Tristan's sister, Christina, we prayed and prayed and prayed. Her bank had a job opening that came up. It looked in the natural like the perfect job for her. There was a raise. It was all these benefits. And she didn't get the job. And we're all like, oh, man, Lord. She got another job in a different part of the branch. But see, what we didn't know in our finite minds is that like less than 6 months after that job came into being, they literally closed that whole place down, that whole section down. It was gone. That person lost their job. Her bank ended up selling out. And guess who one of the last people to be employed by that bank was? Christina. Sometimes God shuts the door in our lives because he's protecting your future. Amen? How many times have you ever met someone and there's been like this really instant connection and you hit it off and then for no reason at all of a sudden the relationship just ends? And you're like, what? But then later on you look back and you go, oh, that person maybe have made some choices that you didn't want in your life, right? Or maybe the Lord closes the door at a job that you were working at. You're like, Lord, what is going on? What are you thinking? I need this job. And then a couple months later, he gives you something even more incredible. And when you look back, that place, that environment was not what you needed in your life. But you couldn't see it at the time because you were so dependent on the job for the income. Are you starting to see the picture I'm creating here? Sometimes the Lord shuts the door to protect your future. What does Jeremiah say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a what? A future. So let me tell you this. God's your dad. And I know that if my kids, when they were little, would start to run toward the street, what would Pastor Steve do? Hey, get back here. Or sometimes by the back of their shirt, you yank them back, right? Or maybe they're getting in the car and a sibling goes to close the door. Wait, stop, don't do that. You have another sibling to get in the car, right? Sometimes when things close in your life, they're not the enemy. Sometimes it's the Lord saying, wait, stop, don't do that. No, danger. Don't make that decision. Don't make that investment. Don't. Wait for me. A shut door is sometimes to protect your future. Amen? So when you're looking at your finances, and maybe you've prayed about something, and you step out and there's that feeling. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had that before? You're like, okay, this was wrong. Back up. Let the Lord shut that door. Or maybe you're knocking at a door and 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 knocking at a door. And it's okay to have faith. It's okay to be persistent. But sometimes we need to ask the Lord, am I knocking at the wrong door? Amen? Because there are different doors in our lives that the Lord has for us. So in your finances, when you go to do your finances, the very first thing that you should do when you sit down to do your finances every single time, say every time, is pray and ask the Lord what to do with your finances. Because sometimes we might be giving things to a closed door that the Lord does not want us to be given to anymore. And sometimes there's things that he wants us to do that don't make sense in the natural, right? Build an ark in the middle of nowhere and there's no water in sight. Does that make sense in the natural? Shake your head. The Lord tells you, I want you to sow a seed and then sow another seed and then sow another seed and then sow another seed. In the natural, does that make sense? No. But you keep doing it. You keep being faithful and you build what he's told you to build. And then at the right time, he will shut the door to protect your future and keep you afloat. And the awesome thing is we know about the end of the story. What happens? The Lord opens the door for him in a place that's clean, it's fresh, all brand new, and he's able to abound. Amen? That's the plans the Lord has for you. You might be saying, well, but this one was so great. But do you trust God? Because if you do, then you have to go back to Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you. But Lord, I know the plans I have for you. But Lord, I really wanted that. But I know the plans I have for you. They are good plans. Say good. Say it again.
Good.
Say they got a hope.
There's a future.
He loves you so much that he wants the very best for you. And sometimes a shut door is not because of rejection. It's because of protection. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this powerful word, the power of a door. That we are beginning to see, Father, times where you shut doors on purpose to protect our faith, to protect our future. And Lord, we're going to begin to see the different ways, Father, that protection comes by a closed door. And Lord, I just pray today for every person, for every household, Father, as they go to do their finances, Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. Wisdom to keep doing what you've told us to do, to keep sowing our seed, to keep building what you've told us to build. But Father, to be ready when a closed door comes, that we don't freak out, we don't panic, but we know, wait, God's doing something. I can trust him with my future. I can trust him with my future. And Lord, I just praise you and I thank you. Bless every seed that is sown today. Let there be a humongous harvest. Many more beholds as we've been seeing, Father. They're going to continue to keep pouring in. Father, testimony of what you are doing in our finances. And I just praise you, Father, for those who have had closed doors, maybe in this last year in their life. I pray, Father, encouragement. Encourage them. Help them to stop looking at the closed door and put their eyes on you. Waiting for the next direction, Father, because you have the right thing for their lives. The right job, the right person, the right place, the right group of people to be with, Father. And they just need to continue on doing what you've called them to do now. And then they'll get to that place where you've called them to be. We praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness today. And everybody said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving nets and let's make a statement of faith together. Just say, I believe I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, Go. Gather it in. I call it in from the north, south, east, and west. Raises, bonuses, increase, blessings of God, debt cancellation, checks in the mail, homes, businesses, ministries, vehicles. And I'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, vacations, vacation houses. Is there anything too big to ask God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. Just tell somebody, He's so good. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. And thank you all for coming to church this morning. The Lord has a word for us each and every week, doesn't He? Amen. And let's pray over this message. Father God, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear today what your Spirit would say to us. Our eyes are open, our ears are open, our hearts are ready to receive everything. Somebody say everything that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, God is so good. We're going to continue our message entitled The Great Mercy of God. Somebody just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. Amen. And kind of what got me going on this toward the end of last year was just that thought that this is going to be a year that we're going to be really extra sensitive toward the mercies of God, considering things that have happened over our nation over the past year, whether it's with the COVID stuff or the race issues or the political things. You know, a lot of things seem like they've gone adverse in many cases to the way we're believing, right? And I love Keith Moore's ministry. And one of the things that ministered so much to me toward the end of last year was he reminded me, you do not have authority over the spirits of people. You can't control people and what they do, what they choose. And it got me thinking, yeah, I have enough issues controlling myself than to think about what you do or what they're doing in Washington or what's happening in Olympia, right? I don't have any control over those people. We do have dominion over evil spirits, over demonic forces, and these types of things, right? But it just got me thinking, you know what? We're just going to be believing God this year to see His mercies poured out on our nation, His mercies poured out in the church, in our families. And also, we're going to be ministering a lot this year on fighting the fight of faith, being strong in our faith. Amen? How many know this is not the time to abandon ship? Amen? We're still on SS Jesus, and He is not rattled one bit with what's going on. He's not mad at people. I have to, again, Brother Keith said something like 2 weeks in a row. I try to watch his Sunday message and sometime during the week. And he was talking to his people, and he knows we're watching well. And he'll say, you know, there's some of you out there, and you're still mad about the election. I'm like, I repent, right? And it just reminds me to batten down the hatchets. We're in this thing for the long haul. Pastor George and Terry Pearson's this morning were ministering on faith and patience, right? We're not, somebody say, I'm not abandoning ship. I'm not quitting on my faith. I'm not quitting on God. I'm not quitting on anything that I'm believing God for. Amen? But this mercy of God, this great mercy of God, and the definition you might remember from last week, when it's in our foundation text again, is Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. So how are we not consumed, church? Because I'm so good? Because I'm so good, I will not be consumed, right? because God feels so sorry for me. I won't be consumed because I had so many issues growing up in life. Because I'm not making above this number financially. I won't be, no. Right? No. Because I'm a Caucasian American, I won't be, no. Somebody say, no. Through the Lord's mercies, I am not consumed, right? And that word consumed means words like end, fail, be all gone, be spent, be wasted. To destroy is by burning, be devoured, to undergo destruction, to waste away. That sounds a lot like the devil's side of the family, doesn't it? And I'm sure you know this as the church, but there's two families in the world, right? There's a number of different races, right? A number of different cultural races, but two spiritual families. There's God's family and there's the devil's family. There's the born again race and there's everybody else. Right? And one family is the family that will be consumed. Right? And if you're born again, that's not you. Somebody say, that ain't me. I'm in God's family. I'm experiencing the mercies of God in every area of my life. So keep praying, keep in faith. Right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I love kids, thank you for being here in church. Amen. We're going to get back to having classes for you soon. And this place is so awesome. Wait till you see some of these rooms that you'll get to use for your classes. I mean, there's smart lights, and this is a dance studio during the week. It's an event center. And there is cool stuff here, man. It is so cool, right? But we're so glad you're in church with us, kids. You're so well-behaved and well-mannered, and we love you. Hallelujah. By the way, I'm just a big kid, too. Amen. In fact, I brought a remote-controlled car today that I'm going to play with after church, probably. But this picture up here on the wall, as I was preparing this message a few weeks ago, just jumped out at me. The great mercy of God is a pathway. Amen? And we're either on the pathway or we're not on the pathway. Didn't Jesus say something to the effect of, wide is the road that's on the way to destruction, right? Narrow is the road that leads to where? To life. Amen? So this mercy of God is a pathway that either we're on or we're not on. Praise the Lord, right? And a couple verses that jumped out at me this week, because I just really felt drawn as I was preparing for today's message. We're going to be talking about mercy in the life of Jesus over the next few weeks. Because he is, somebody say, he is the mercy of God in the flesh. Amen? But I really felt drawn to just look at that word pathway today. God just keeps, you know, building a foundation under us, amen? But the two verses that jumped out are in the book of Deuteronomy. Somebody say, read the whole Bible, right? With Jesus in mind, of course, right? That he is the Word. He's the Word from Genesis to Revelation. It's, somebody say, it's all about him. He either fulfilled it or he's about to fulfill it. Amen? That's what, you know, going into Passover season, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, there's spring feasts, right? In the Bible, you'll see. There are spring feasts like Passover, right? And there are fall feasts, right? Who can name one of the fall feasts? Just Feast of Tabernacles, yeah. Now, the spring feasts, Jesus has already fulfilled them. Passover, he became the Passover lamb. Right? The blood he shed for us. There's beautiful teachings out there about this thing. The fall feasts, like Feast of Tabernacles, are yet to be fulfilled. That has to do with the return of Jesus. So it's marvelous. So when you see something on your calendar that says, you know, what might be one of them? Like Rosh Hashanah, right? Or Yom Kippur, right? These are significant dates in God's calendar. Amen? But Jesus fulfilled them all. So when we see something like in these two verses here, Deuteronomy 7:9, let's look at this. Right? Moses is speaking. God is speaking to Moses, showing him how to lead, how to feed his people, right? And he says this, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God." The Lord your God, he is God. That's good to know, isn't it? There's a lot of clamoring voices out there that say, you can have any God. Oh, Pastor Steve, that's Deuteronomy. That's like 4,000 years ago. And today is the same truth. He is the same. Somebody say yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So know that the Lord your God, he is God. Amen? You could say this to anybody on planet Earth. The Lord my God, he is God. Now, he may not be your God, but he's my God, and he is God. There's no other. Amen? Know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy. Somebody say, and mercy. For 1,000 generations. Now, here's the key thing. A lot of people will just stop right there and say, the mercy of God. See there, the mercy of God is just extended to everybody. Well, it's offered to everybody. And there's certain levels of the mercy of God, like any person out there in the world who hates God, who murders babies, who believes in all these crazy perversions, right? God still gives them air to breathe, doesn't he? Jobs, strengthen their bodies. So there's a certain level of mercy that's extended to everybody. But we're talking about his mercy right here, his supernatural covenant of mercy. And here's the thing right here. It says, he keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Sounds like a pathway, right? The mercy of God is extended to those who love him. So therefore, even if I and you who love him need his mercy, how much more the world, right? Somebody say hallelujah. Even you and me who are in church today, who came to church, read our Bibles, we pray. Somebody say, I still need the mercy. I'm on the pathway of God's mercy for my life. Deuteronomy 7:12 says it this way. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. Somebody say, sounds like a pathway. Right? Why can you receive the mercies of God? Because you listen to his judgments and keep and do them. Amen? And of course, specifically, we're talking about Jesus here. Because how many know, no matter how good you are, no matter how holy you might be, compared to him, we all fall way short. Amen? Somebody say, I need the mercy still today. Amen? Think of the most holy person you've ever met. In your mind, right? They still need the mercy. Jesus' own mother needed his mercy. Amen? Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So let's look at Jesus now. John 1:14 says this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? So, back up there in Deuteronomy, when we're talking about his commandments, his judgments, his covenant, right? He literally became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord forevermore, right? And we talked last week about how Jesus laid aside his glory, became a man, took on flesh, and therefore he can understand the frailties of our flesh. Right? He got tired. He had to use the restroom. He got hungry. And then he experienced the temptations of the enemy. Right? Of course, without sinning. But somebody say he understands. We should never catch ourselves saying, God, you just don't understand what I'm, you being God. And even religiously, we can get that way with Jesus. Well, yeah, that was Jesus. That's why he didn't sin, because he was God in the flesh. Well, what he did on this planet for those 33 years, he did not do as God. He did as a man. Amen. Right? Praise the Lord forevermore. Glory to God. So therefore, I have no excuse, do I? Well, God, you don't understand why I got these problems. Well, no. That's why he is the one who can extend mercy to me and help me. Somebody say, and help me. Help me to overcome my issues. Because he has already overcome that. He's the one who passed the test. Every single test. Test after test after test after test. A plus, A plus, A plus. You ever have one of those kids in your class that just A plused everything? And then the teacher sometimes would be nice to everyone else, and they'll say something like, now this test, we're going to grade on a curve. But you knew, because Johnny's in the class, it don't matter. Right? But because your faith is in him, therefore you are a son or daughter of God yourself. In everything you ever face in your life, A plus, A plus, A plus, A plus, because you have accepted him. Somebody say amen. Now that's glorious news, right? Now John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, somebody say that's me, right? So see, this mercy of God is extended to those who receive him. Well, you know, I've heard people teach that, you know, what Jesus did was so powerful that even if you don't ever receive it, you're all going to heaven because, man, he killed sin. No, somebody say, that is not true. You have to believe it and receive it for yourself. Amen? And others on opposite end of the spectrum will say, no matter how good you were, no matter all this, you'll never be good enough. Heaven wasn't made for you. Heaven is only for 100-some thousand people. The rest of us are all just going to dwell on this planet forever. If God chooses to, if you find his mercy. Somebody say, that is not true either. Amen. If your faith is in Jesus, God the Son, then you have won. Somebody say, I have won, because my faith is in the Son. Therefore, I have won. Praise God, right? But as many as have received him, John 1:12, to them, somebody say, to them. Somebody say, it's a pathway. To them, he gave the right to become children of God and to those who believe in his name. Somebody say, this is not for everybody. It's for those who believe. This is why no matter who is in office today, no matter what the health department is saying, you know, I was in a training up in Olympia just before about a year ago for wildlife control at the state capitol, and it was just about to shut down everything, you know, and they had a representative from the health department come and talk to us, right? And by the way, all they had on their table was a tissue box and a hand sanitizer. That's it. This is at the state capitol, okay? Now, we're not being rough on our leaders, man. This was a tough year to lead, okay? Right? Amen. Not many people have ever had to walk through this before. And then you add all the weird political things. You know, it's pressure. You know, so we pray for them, don't we? No matter where they're at, right? But this representative came in and she said, you know, our job as the health department is to make you afraid of sickness. Boy, I'll tell you, a light came on in my head right there. Somebody say, no, I do not take the fear. Why? Because I'm one of them. No matter what you all want to believe, not me. Somebody say, not me. No, sir, no, ma'am. Hallelujah. As many as received him, to them, somebody say, to me, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You're the ones the mercy is for. Hallelujah. Now, they could believe. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we have a website and a radio broadcast and devotionals, and we sow into ministries around the country and in the world. Because this gospel is for everyone. But not everyone has received it. Right? So there is a separation. There is a distinction. Amen? You're either on the mercy path or the consumed path. And it's a pretty easy decision when you think about it, right? But see, there's a spirit of deception in the world and, you know, all these kind of things that we pray against and we preach against, right? We got to move here. John 14, 6 says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Now listen to this. Right? Jesus said to him, I am, when you think about this in terms of Jesus the man, right? And he's talking to these real uppity religious people, a lot of people listening to him, and he has the gall to say, I am the, not a. See, there's a big difference, this subtle but big. The world would say he might be a way, but certainly he's not the only. Well, you're just a hater if you think he's the only. Well, if you hate burning forever, then it's good to come to an understanding that he is the way. Somebody say, he is the way. Right there. Somebody say, one way. Right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, somebody say no one, right, comes to the Father except through me. Amen. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. And when you look at the word way, right, the dictionary defines it, I like some of these words, passage or progress on a course. Jesus is the only passageway to heaven, okay? Only one. He's the only way of God's mercy. All other religions, all other faiths put it on you. If you give enough money to our organization, we'll get you into heaven or whatever heaven is to them. Right? If you spin enough beads, if you climb enough stairs, if your yin outweighs the yang, or however that is, right? What's the other word that they use? What's that word that they use? Karma, right? If your good karma outweighs the bad karma, how do I know? Well, just come to some of our meetings and join it. Somebody say, no. That puts it all back on you. The only thing that's on me is to believe. Is to put my faith in the one who did it all. Who did it all right. Somebody say glory to God. He is the course. Here we go, right back to the pathway, right? He's the only course to eternal life. Synonyms for way are words like track. Right? We need to be on the right track. That old phrase, am I on the right track here? Are you tracking with me? It don't matter how many people say this track and this track and this track and this track are all okay. Yeah. Feels good, do it. Well, if you're interested in eternal life, say one track. One track, right? Another synonym or words like plan. He is the plan, right? Process. Somebody say, I'm in the process. Amen. My spirit, when you got born again, your spirit is born again, right? My soul and my body are being saved. You see, my knees, praise God, I got a pretty good report, but this Bible says it's healed, right? So my spirit, my knee in the spirit is completely well. In the flesh, it's being saved. Glory to God, right? Hallelujah. Synonyms mean like process, practice. We talked last week about the word practice. We're not practicing sin. We're practicing righteousness. Does that mean I never sin? No, but I'm not practicing sin. Amen. Right? Somebody say, that's what the mercy's for, right? You ever see a 1 or 2 year old kid start learning to walk and they fall and they bang their head? I remember one of the spookiest moments with our kids. I remember Lindsay, we were at my parents' house and she just went running across the couch, flew off, woo, and hit her head right on the fireplace. Bricks. And she cried a little bit, but she's fine. She got up running around, so it's like, man, right? But as we grow up in faith, somebody say, as I grow up, I'm going to fall a lot less. And there are scriptures that tell you, as believers, when I fall, I will rise. That's one thing the resurrection reminds me of, is he rose. Because he rose, I'm rising too. There are scriptures that say things like, though a righteous man fall 7 times, he rises again. Amen? So failure isn't final if you're a believer in Jesus, right? I have a cousin who about a year and a half ago was dealing with some things in his own life, born again, raised in a beautiful Christian family, and he was in the wrong place at the wrong time and was in an altercation with a police officer, and his life ended. Tragically. Tragically. But you can't talk me out of where I know he is right now. Why? Because he was born again. The devil was controlling him in a lot of areas of his life, but he made Jesus Lord of his life. He was just up here letting some things in that he shouldn't have. But the mercy, somebody say the mercy of God carried him on home to be with Jesus. Right? Praise God for the mercy. So though a righteous man falls, he's going to rise again, right? Because it's about where our faith is. Somebody say, my faith is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. So it means, again, synonyms for way. It means form. Don't you know Jesus is the form of God in the flesh? Right? He is the course of action, it means. So this Christian life is not a passive thing. It's not something we just sit around and watch everybody. Well, whatever happens must be God's will. Must be God's will. Somebody say, maybe little g God, right? But we are people of action. Faith has action. There's a scripture that says, faith without works is dead, right? Now, sometimes the action might be wait. Faith and patience. Having done all, stand. Standing is an action. Yesterday, I helped my family put together a basketball hoop. And all I did mostly was stand there. Because my wife just has this gift for putting things together. And I have the gift of intercession. And standing there. And I stood there, and I stood there. And I didn't know how long it would take to put a basketball hoop together. And Rose knows, 3.5 hours about. It was, by the way, it was a miracle basketball hoop, wonderful find. And we got it home and we had to, some assembly required,
We had all the tools, but my family, Shelly and Lane and Luke, and part of my job was holding the backboard, just standing there, holding, so the rim wasn't on the ground, holding the backboard while they put it together. They did a great job, by the way. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, if I hadn't have been standing there, there would have been some problems. And I'd give encouraging words sometimes. Hey, guys, way to go. Good job. So standing is necessary. Somebody say, standing is necessary. Taking your stand of faith and just standing and standing and remember the word God gave us earlier about a month or two ago? Stand another day. Would you stand another day? How long will this COVID thing? Would you stand another day? What about these crazy elections? Would you stand another day? What about whatever is going on in your life? Would you simply stand another day and let me work on this? And let the angels of God work on this situation? Somebody say, I can do that. I can stand in the mercy of God. Praise the Lord forevermore. Synonyms like course of action, form, means. Jesus is the means of the mercy of God. The only means. You can't go down to Walmart and buy the mercy of God. Right? You can't order it online. Uber won't bring it to you. The government won't send you mercy assistance. Right? Somebody say one means. Jesus is the means of the mercy. And what do? We just open our hands and say, Lord, thank you. I receive it all. I receive it all. Somebody say, I receive it all. It also, one last word there, synonym is measure. He is the full measure of the mercy of God. Did you know Jesus is the only man, somebody say the only man, who ever bore the whole measure of the judgment of God? He's the only one who could do it. He was the only sacrifice that would be acceptable. And he did it. All the way down into the pit of hell for 3 days and then gloriously raised again forevermore. Amen? So because he bore the whole judgment of God, now he is able to be the entire measure of his mercy. Somebody say glory to his name forevermore. So this reminds me, might as well quit sinning then. Because I'm never going to out-sin the mercies of God. Might as well just surrender. Can't beat them, join them. Some people actually think they've sinned too much to qualify for this mercy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Right? No, you'll never out-sin. Your measure of sin will never out-measure his mercy for you. But we have to receive it. Somebody say, I receive it. Boy, I receive it now. When's a good time to receive it? Somebody say, now. Now is a good time. We got a couple more verses. John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed. Somebody say, has passed from death into life. That is such a powerful verse. But you can tell it doesn't include everybody, does it? It could. But we're talking about specific people here. He who hears my word and believes has passed. We could say that, right? He who hears my word and believes has passed. So when the devil comes to remind you of your past, remind him of his future. Because he is a liar. You are not on the pathway of being consumed. You're on the pathway of his great mercies. And we can pray this interceding for our families, interceding for our nation, right? Amen? Somebody say, because I believe and I've heard, I therefore have passed from death into life. Glory to his name forevermore. Got time for two more, right? 1 John 5:12 says this, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, how simple is this to understand? And yet, how many would reject this as too narrow-minded, right? What do you mean, if I don't have Jesus, I don't have life? Well, I didn't make this up, right? This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. Somebody say, only one way. Only one way. He is the mercy of God in the flesh. And he was offered for everyone. Think of the love that Jesus has to have to know in the middle of his suffering that not everyone probably is going to receive this. But for those who will, it's worth it. Amen? For if only one person receives what I'm doing today, it's worth it all. There's a scripture that said he despised the shame of the cross and looked to the joy. He looked to you and me, right? The people who would come into his family were why he endured what he endured. Not because he was making his father happy, right? Not because he had to. Because of the joy that was set before him, which is us. All believers. Amen? Praise God forevermore. And finally, I want to share, this is something that I was just pondering this past week. John 16, verses 7 through 11 says this. Jesus is speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Now, don't ever forget about the Holy Spirit. He is the X factor. Jesus ain't here no more in the flesh. How are we ever going to overcome this? Somebody say the Holy Ghost. Amen. He is your helper. The helper. He's your helper. Amen. But if I depart, Jesus said, I will send him to you. And when he has come, when he has come, it says, verse 8, he will. Somebody say, he will. That means I don't have to. Only thing is, usually how he does it is he uses his people to do it. Right? It says this, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Now, if he's going to use us to do that, what does that tell me? It tells me this. How he does that is because I ain't sinning no more. Ever have any old friends like that? Hey, how come you ain't partying no more? How come you ain't drinking no more? How come you ain't chasing girls with me anymore? How come you don't do this anymore or that anymore? Because I am saved. Because Jesus. That is offensive to a good sinner. And yet sometimes a good slap in the face with a wet fish is what somebody needs to wake up. Right? So for a Christian to say, well, it don't matter how I live. I can just keep right on sinning. After all, how am I going to reach them if I'm not in the bar with them? If I'm not shacking up with somebody? If I'm not sick and poor and broke and into strife? No. Somebody say, no. We've been redeemed from that. There ain't none of that stuff on the pathway. So let's empty our pockets of it, right? Let's not bring all that trash with us like a little knapsack on this pathway of God's mercy, right? Just dump it. Somebody say, dump it. And let the Holy Ghost show somebody else this pathway. Glory to God forevermore, right? When he has come, he will. Somebody say, he will. So I don't got to point my bony finger in someone's face and say, you're going to hell. Right now, God may sometimes stir us up to... I'm not talking about not preaching, but your life. Somebody say, my life. Your posts on Facebook, your whatever you do, right, will show people not so much what you're actively doing, but maybe what you're actively not doing. And they'll begin to wonder, he don't talk like that no more. Wow, they kind of blocked me in some of my posts. Wonder why. You know what I'm saying? And the Holy Ghost begins to stir in people. You know what? Maybe I should think about it. That pathway seems different. Amen. I don't want to be on the road to destruction. I want to be on the road to life and life everlasting. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Right? Of sin, verse 9, because they do not believe in me. Don't be surprised if not everyone likes you anymore. Because you stopped sinning. It might be offensive to some people that you would not accept their lifestyle anymore. But that's okay. Somebody say, stand another day. Keep praying, keep loving, I think part of the thing is, God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor. But who did it say love first? So loving my neighbor doesn't mean I'm going to be partying with you. Well, it said love my neighbor. Let's get some weed. And then we'll talk about Jesus while we're high. We get higher. We're getting closer to God. Somebody say no. No, I love him more than I love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And let the Holy Ghost do the work. I don't have to go in there and try to fix you. I said this before. I got enough trouble trying to fix me. Why would I want to mess with you? Praise the Lord, right? Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. See, they're going to start seeing you doing the right things. Right? Making the right choices. Your life improving. You're not angry and upset and fearful anymore. Right? And they're going to begin to think, And then God will open doors for you to share and testify, right? And help them along. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler, this is beautiful. The ruler of this world has, not will be, has been. The devil is only a has been, right? The ruler of this world has been judged. When Jesus died and rose again from the dead, party over, devil. Now all he's doing is throwing a hissy fit on his way out, burning and pillaging and stealing, killing, and destroying as he's leaving. So the key is, don't be on his pathway. If anything in our life resembles his pathway, then we need to remind him, not remind God, remind the devil, hey, listen, devil, you have no business here. And be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and what he's telling you to change about you. Right? He's told me before, Steve, take that app off your phone. Steve, no more of these kind of movies. Steve, I want you to get up earlier and spend this much more time with me in the Word. Steve, turn off the sports and turn on Copeland. well, maybe later. We've all said that, right? But the Holy Ghost, somebody say, he will wake me up. He will wake me up. He's stronger than a strong cup of coffee. Right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we remind the devil of his place. I was watching Keith Moore's ministry the other day, and the guy up receiving the offering or sharing testimonies, he stepped out, he goes, let's all just give the devil a kick. Just give him a kick. Let's all right now, just get your leg and give the devil a kick, right? And that's the knee that's being saved right there. Just give the devil a kick right there. We need to be people that are often, that just become the devil's worst nightmare. Remember Mario Murillo? We'll pray here. I went over a little bit. We'll pray. But Mario Murillo had a t-shirt back in the day. And all it said was, I'm the Christian the devil warned you about. Somebody say, we are the devil's worst nightmare. Because we're God's people and we are in charge of this planet, and this planet belongs to our Father. Right? And we are going to do what the Bible says and occupy till He comes. Amen? We're not getting kicked off this planet. The rapture is not going to happen to save us from destruction. No, Jesus already saved us from destruction. We're going to be raptured from this planet so the devil can have his little party for a few years. And then we're coming back to take over this planet. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Let's all stand up on our feet. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord for His words today. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Father, we thank You for these words today to us. We thank You for Your great mercy that is eternal. That's for today. And we welcome You, Father God. We thank You for Your great mercies, Your loving kindness, Your favor toward us. And we accept it today. Just say, Father, I accept Your mercy. I accept everything Jesus did for me, and I'll continue to grow in my knowledge of it and be a vector of Your mercy on this planet. I'll be a means, Lord, for You to spread Your mercy. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. Somebody shout, amen.